Well, good afternoon, everyone. Again, on a nice Sabbath day. It's a little overcast, but it keeps the clouds there and keeps it a little cooler here today. So we appreciate that after having some very hot weather lately. Well, for the next 3 weeks, and I hope we can do this in 3 weeks, I'm going to try very hard. We're going to give a series that is going to be going out in the taped album to all the people for an overview of this true plan of salvation. The title of this and the coming sermons is going to be The Light. The Light. Because that's what Christ is, and that's what He brought. He brought us this light, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we always say about the good news that the gospel is the good news of the kingdom of God, but it's something else. It's something very important. And Christ has used it a number of times. It is the true gospel of peace. The true gospel of peace, which is very, very important to understand. It's just not some place we're going to go and get some office and rule with Christ. It truly is a gospel of peace. It is truly God's true kingdom of happiness and joy and peace. Now we have, as we go along, we have plenty of backup sermons on all of the subjects that we're going to be hearing throughout this series. We are going to try to give an overview of the true plan of salvation. And this is something that you've never heard before. You've only heard bits and pieces of it. This truly is meat and life, what you're going to hear. And God has not revealed this truth to any of the organizations that have split off from Worldwide Church of God or with the Worldwide Church of God. He certainly hasn't given them very much now, because they're sitting there being absolutely blind right now and fulfilling the Laodicean era of the church among the other organizations as well. Now, I have been in God's church now for over 42 years, so I am not a novice to God's way and His way of life. I'm not a novice to this Bible. You know, through this series, you're going to have a lot of questions. But remember, you're going to be coming to ask those questions from a view that was taught to you for many years and worldwide, and now in some of the other organizations. And I can assure you that that view is wrong. So we will answer most all of your questions. Don't worry about that. But just sit and listen to this. Herbert W. Armstrong was one of God's servants. And I think that you all know that he was. I personally loved him, liked him, and was taught by him. And I enjoyed that very much. I look forward to the day that we can be together again. He began the first part of this Philadelphian era of the church. And he was given the first part of the true plan of salvation. It's very important to understand that, because he was not given the full knowledge of that information. And there's a reason why, and we will get to that. God revealed his knowledge. He always reveals his knowledge on a need-to-know basis, on what he is trying to accomplish at that time. And he does it for his timing and his fulfillment of his plan of salvation. Not your theory of it, and not mine, but his. You will learn how Satan's counterfeit religion, his very counterfeit religion of this world and his kingdom, has been allowed to be taught right in God's true church. Over all of the seven eras of God's church. Don't for a moment think that you are perfect and righteous and holy because you weren't. You can thank God that you were covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. God also had parts of His truth in the church. Depending on what era you were in, it was either greater or lesser, the knowledge, to accomplish the plan that the Father has set out and wrote about 2,000 years before the churches were finished. Now look at Sardis era of the church. We know that church was basically, as God said, was dead. Now they didn't keep any of the holy days. They didn't understand that. There was a lot of things that they did not keep. And yet, they were first fruits. They were part of the first fruits of God. But God said that this is the way they were going to be, and that's the way they were. Now God gave Mr. Armstrong the Sabbath, the holy days, the clean and unclean meats, the tithing, and the very law of God. That's what we all learned from Mr. Armstrong. And it was very important. It was God's way of life and thinking, and much more, as we have come to realize. And that's what he was given to begin this era of the church. But in God's church, we also preached fear religion. Many of you still don't know what fear religion is because you're still preaching it and you're still hearing it. And you're still under that guilt. It is Satan's counterfeit. God allowed a certain amount of that to be taught right within the Philadelphian era of the church. So don't think you're perfect and holy and with all knowledge and wisdom, because you are not. Herbert Armstrong said that salvation was a free gift. Now he said it, and he believed it. But he also preached, like everyone else, but your works gave you your reward. That is what the preaching of the church was. But the problem is that if you have no works, you have no free gift either, do you? Think about this. I want you to begin to think about what you believe. If it's a free gift and you don't have some works for your reward, you lose the whole thing, don't you? And that is what it was preached. Herbert Armstrong said that you had to qualify. You had to qualify. And isn't that what all these organizations that are out there, all these splits, Global, United, Flurry, Ted Armstrong, Ron Dart, Dankenbrink, and there's probably 1,000 others out there. That's what they still believe. That you have to qualify. You have to have these works, or you don't get the free gift. Well, we're going to judge all of you today. All of you who are in the congregation have already gone through this years ago. I put you all through this. But now it's time for everyone who we're sending these tapes out to start to look at themselves. And it's very important to do this. That's what you believe. Well, how much have you qualified? If that's part of getting into the kingdom, how much have you really qualified? You know, let's stand up. Let's stand up in front of God. You see, let's stand in front of God's throne right now. Now go ahead. Answer to God right now. It's not in front of me, not in front of the person sitting next to you, not at home in your lounge chair. You know, it's not the next guy, it's you. You. Go ahead, answer to God. How much have you overcome? This is what you believe. How many years have you been in the church? 10 years? 20 years? 40 years? How much have you changed? How much have you overcome? Go ahead, tell God how much you have done. You know, you're not telling me. Tell God. You know, you can't lie to God. He sees right through you. He knows exactly what you see within yourself. Where are your good works? Where is your faith? Go ahead, tell God how much your flesh has to glory in. Should we take a moment? I want you to really think about it. This is the basis of why you are attending the organizations you are. How much have you changed since you have been in God's church? I want you to see yourself. It's very important, because what you see is the plan that you believe in. This is what you believe. And everyone is still out there preaching it, and everyone is still yielding to it. You know, brethren, when you really look at yourself, you cannot honestly say before the very throne of God that you have changed all that much. Oh, maybe some little physical character, maybe even a little bit of spiritual character. But should God even send any one of us an application form for the kingdom? Do you think it would really be worthwhile filling it out? Do you think you're going to be accepted? Do you think it's me and you, Lord? Is there somehow that you pray to Him and kind of try to get on His good side, that when you stand before that lake of fire, that He'll say, oh, well, I know Harry or Joe or whatever the guy's name is, and Mary or Sue. Oh, yeah, oh, you talked so nice to me. I see all of your problems, but go ahead and you can come in. Is that the way it's going to happen? The other ministers won't ask you this because they have no question or an answer for this. They don't even have the question. But they certainly don't have the answer, because they look at their own lives and they know that they're not going to be there based on what they believe. You know, we have the supposed millennium coming up where Christ is going to rule, and we've all been taught that. Now, what are you going to offer Jesus Christ in that millennium? How are you going to help Him? There's another void there, isn't there? Because God and Christ doesn't need any of the skills that you may have. How are you going to help? What do you have to offer? Where's all this great character? An example that you were supposed to have set. Brethren, it's not there. Look at yourself and see. You know, did you repent of all of your last sins that you committed? And what if you die now and you haven't repented? You know, under your way of thinking, you will go to the lake of fire for that. You must repent on every sin that you commit. And what about those sins you don't even realize you commit, because we're so much a part of Satan's way? Did you repent of those too? Did you forget one? You know, if you have and you believe in free moral agency or free choice, this is what you are stuck with. You know, your spiritual life doesn't look too good, does it? And anyone who is would be sitting here, which I'm sure they are not, because they know the truth, but for any hearing it on this tape that thinks that you're in pretty good shape for the kingdom, I can tell you that you are deceived. Absolutely deceived. I can guarantee you in the name of Jesus Christ that you will burn in the lake of fire by your own belief and your judgment, by what you believe in, which is your plan of salvation. You will not make it, brethren. No one ever has, and no one ever will under that. And I can guarantee in Christ's name, very easily, because he has revealed the true plan of salvation, which is not what we used to think. Now, we had bits and pieces, and we certainly were given a really good foundation by Mr. Armstrong and through that Spirit. But there was a lot more, a lot more. You know, when were you going to change? You haven't changed all these years. When were you going to change? Did you have it on your calendar? Were you going to do it on your deathbed? And as you're dying, you're going to say, oh, forgive me, oh boy, I'm covered. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. You know it and I know it. Get out of this fog that we have been in. Your plan of salvation doesn't sound so good, does it? It seems like God is going to be very, very lonely. It's a good thing he rescued one, his son. Because if he's waiting for any of us, we're not going to make it. You see, the other ministers can't tell you this because they don't know the true plan of salvation, and they can't offer you anything else but what they are preaching to you. And they're stuck just like you are. Herbert W. Armstrong believed this plan. I believe this plan. And you believed this plan. We all believed it. That's all we knew. That's all we understood. God did reveal foundational truths to Mr. Armstrong. And he revealed the first part of that plan to him. He could not have revealed more of his plan till the Laodiceans got going. And we know that they were going to be blind. So God just doesn't give all of the truth and then all of a sudden has people get blind. When they began, God did reveal the second part of the true plan of salvation. And that's what you're going to hear now. It is time that the Philadelphian church learn the wonderful and reveal true plan of salvation. Remember that God told us not to answer until we have heard the whole matter. Now, many of you probably already want to raise your hands out there. Oh, wait a minute. You said this. Remember, you are coming from a point of view that frankly is not true. But we can debate that later. You're going to have many, many questions listening to this. But be patient. That is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Be patient. Most all of those questions will be answered by the end. I have done this, brethren, too many times. I know how this works. You will hear and understand things that you have never heard before in this series. It has never been revealed to your mind. These are the very words of Spirit and life. And you will find that to be true. you will know that this did not come from man. You'll know that this didn't come from study. Some man didn't think this up. And the Holy Spirit that works within you will show you that. But this was revealed to his servant by the Father in heaven. And you will see that to be true. And we will prove that very easily by the words that we speak. Now sit back and hear the things that are too wonderful for man to know. And hear the true mysteries of God. Because that is what you are going to start to hear. Here is what we are going to be covering in these three sermons. And brethren, this is going to change your lives. And for the first time in your life, you are going to receive some peace. You've never had that before. Here's the different subjects we're going to go through. We're going to go through Christ and Satan, the Garden of Eden, the seven churches, the first fruits, the very church of God. We're going to cover the man of sin. We're going to tell you exactly who that is. And we're going to name names. And it's not names that anyone's ever named before. Because no one's ever known before. We're going to cover the old plan of salvation, the one that we all used to know worldwide. And then we're going to start to go in, because we're going to refresh your minds with that very quickly. Then we're going to go into God's true plan of salvation. And we're going to cover very quickly and see how all of this fits in. God's seven holy days. The seven trumps, the seven vials, Armageddon, Gog and Magog, the two witnesses, Christ's real second coming, the millennium, what will happen during that time, the white throne judgment, and finally the great last day. Now most of you are all sitting at home saying, well, I know all of those things. No, you heard something about it, but you certainly do not know. And after this series, you will realize that you didn't know. We had timing, we had places, we had events all out of sync. We didn't understand. You will now hear for the first time in your life, God's true plan of salvation. For all, not you, not just you, but for all mankind. You haven't heard that before. So let's get into this. Let's talk a little bit about Christ. Why did Christ come here? Why did he come? Now there's a lot of different ramifications. We have plenty of tapes, and I'll be offering those as we go along, where you can write in and receive these. I am not trying to utterly prove any of these points to you. I want to go through and give you an overview of the plan of salvation. And then through the holy days and many other tapes, you will see that what we have said here today is true and it's right. And you're going to be getting this and receiving it because there are faithful brethren. There are faithful people that God has called to see this, to witness the beginnings of this over the last 10 or 12 years. That's how long we've known it, brethren. But now it's time for you to understand. You know, many of you may think that Joseph the Koch, Sr. was this bad and evil man. But I can assure you in the name of Christ that he was a very servant of God. God chose pretty well, didn't he? Look at what happened to worldwide in a short 10-year period. It was destroyed. Did God choose somebody to do that fulfilled his purpose? Pretty well, didn't he? He's pretty thorough. But I knew Mr. Dukach for many, many years. And I loved him. and continue to love him. And he was a servant of God. Now, since him, there is no servants of God out there in Pasadena. I think that's obvious to all. We don't have to belabor that. But God does provide a servant. He always provides a servant, and he always provides a message. And that message is generally a little bit different with each servant, because God wants to accomplish a different purpose for his plan. So let's look at Christ. Why did he come here? Oh, there's many things you can say. Came for this, came for that. But let's get down to the heart of it. Let's get down to the overview of the plan of salvation. We won't be turning to too many scriptures today. Pardon me, but we are going to turn to this one. It's the old Protestant one that we never like to read that much in church. But it's very, very important. It's John 3:16. Let's see why he came here. Why did he come? Let's see it through new eyes. Let's see it in an overview of the plan of salvation. It says, as you know, verse 16, "For God so loved the world." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a big statement. It is what happened. God loves everyone in this world. He doesn't love Satan. He doesn't love his kingdoms here. And he doesn't love what Satan has done to the people. But he does love the people. Now, generally, that's all people read, and they're gone. No, there's a little more to this. Let's read that in verse 17. Why did he come to this world? "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." Christ didn't come here to condemn people, the world. Look at this. "But that the world through him might be saved." You can look up the word. It does mean saved. He's not talking about you, the first fruits, brethren. He's talking about the world, everyone, including the first fruits. He wants to save the world. And not only once, he has, with his death, saved the world. Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to give somebody an opportunity. You've heard that for years, and it's a lie. Christ came to save the world. And when he died, he did. He did. He came to fulfill, now get this, he came to fulfill what the holy days picture. Did you ever hear it that way before? He was the first of the first fruits. This is what the holy days picture. To be the very Son of God. To be our Passover lamb. He came to save the world, brethren. Get that in your head, because it hasn't been there before. You thought, and I thought, and Mr. Armstrong thought, Christ just came to give someone an opportunity. He came for much more than that. Verse 15. "That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Oh, yeah, this is where you're all throwing up this free choice and free moral agency. Oh, yeah, God brings me along. He opens my mind. Then it's my choice whether I'm going to accept the Lord or not. Isn't that what you believe? Well, that was pretty stupid, wasn't it? Because that's not the way it is. It's not the way it is at all. We're right here in John. Just flip over a page or two. However your Bible's laid out. One scripture I want. I didn't write down the other part in it. I know it's just right here. Okay, it's John 6, verse 44. You can do something? Huh? Can you? You can't do anything. You can do nothing. It says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. You look up the word draw. It means drag. Drag. No man can come to me except the Father that sent me drag him here. And I will raise him up in the last day. And that's true. Brethren, there are only two groups of people. The first fruits and the great harvest. And salvation is a free gift. Now it's to who God gives. Now we know that unless God opens up our minds and drags us in here, we haven't made any choice. What choice did you ever make? You didn't make any choice. God's Spirit began to work with your mind and suddenly you said, whoa! You know, there's a Sabbath day to keep. Whoa, there's the holy days. Whoa, you didn't do that before. God did it. Give God the credit. You had nothing to do with it. You don't have choice. You will see as the plan unfolds. And you will thank God. You will get on your knees before God and thank Him that you never, ever had a choice. Because as we've run through in the first part of the sermon, your choices, your ways, haven't produced anything, have they? Thank God you didn't have a choice. So salvation is a free gift. Now each in their own order. That is to be said. And we don't have to look up each one of these scriptures. I'll just read these. I want to give you an overview of the true plan of salvation. Not an in-depth study. That comes with all the sermon tapes that you can get later. But you can write these down. You can check these out. In 1 John 2:2, it says that Christ died not just for our sins, meaning the church, but the sins of the whole world. That's why He came, to cover the sins of the whole world. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved? This isn't a wish. This is what He's going to do. Verse 6. Who gave Himself a ransom for all. And later it says in that verse, to learn in due time. They would all learn in due time. We're learning it now. We're the first fruits. We're seeing what God really did for us now. They'll learn later. And some of these I may paraphrase a little bit, but you can read it and see that I'm telling you the truth. Matthew 18:14. Even so, it is not the will of the Father in heaven. See, this is not His will that one of these little ones should perish. You know, the Father's will is law. The Father's will is it. There isn't anything bigger and better. He doesn't change it. It is His thinking. And He's telling us here that it's not the Father's will to lose one of these little ones. That's anyone on this earth. 2 Peter 3:9. God is not slack concerning His promise. Not willing. He is not willing. It will not happen. You see? He sets His will, and it will be this way. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, or that change with the Holy Spirit. That's what He's promised, isn't He? Didn't He say someday the Spirit will be everywhere? Fill it like the waters? That is God's will. There's many, many other scriptures here. How about this one in Romans 11, verse 26? He states in His inspired word, and so all, not a portion, not 99.9, no, all Israel shall be saved. Not maybe, it shall be saved. You see, you can't get around the scriptures. We always try to, but you can't. It talks back in Isaiah 45. You can read all of this. Isaiah 45, 17 through 25. Talks about Israel shall be saved. Israel shall be saved. In the Lord with an everlasting salvation, every knee shall bow. All the seed of Israel will be justified and shall glory. Brethren, you can't get around those scriptures, and there's a lot more. And as we give you other sermons to send in for, you will start to see this. But I want to get this in your mind. Salvation is a free gift to the whole world, each in their own order. You must remember that. First, the first fruits, then the great harvest. Am I doing away with God's law? Are any of you thinking that I'm doing away with God's law? I'll quote my friend. God forbid! Yea, we establish the law. Romans 3:31. No, we establish the law. God's law is His life. Nothing is going to change within that law. That is how He is. That's how He thinks. That's how all mankind will live forever. It is His thinking. It's right there. It's His way of life. But can you qualify or earn salvation by keeping the law? No. No, you can't. You can make a stab at it, but it won't work. We have salvation because Christ died for mankind. And not just for you, but He saved all of us. We better thank God that He saved the whole world, each in their own order. Which you are going to learn. You are going to learn here. Now that gives you an overview, first of yourself and what you believed and the salvation that you thought you had and that you were trying to qualify or earn, which didn't come out too good, did it, friends? No, it didn't. And I'm telling you that Jesus Christ came to save the whole world, and He did save the whole world. And it's very important to understand that. God's not in a fight between you and Him. The only fight God has is with Satan the devil. And you're going to see that. Am I preaching saved by grace, once saved, always saved, with lasciviousness? With license to sin? No, absolutely not. you're going to embrace, after hearing this, you're going to embrace His laws even more. You are going to revel and joy in His laws, because you're going to finally understand what all these laws are and what they mean and how they fit into the very mind of the Father in heaven. So I know you have questions, but just listen to what I have to say first. And as this plan begins to unfold, I've got to tell you some of these foundational points. And then when I explain the plan of God, you'll see how they all fits in together. And you will see that I am absolutely right, and that we have been wrong, and we didn't understand, and we weren't supposed to until now. That's okay. No one's losing salvation over this because you believed one way. You'll learn that too. Now, let's start to talk about Satan. Let's get a little overview about Satan. It's very important that we understand the other side, and that is Satan. You have to understand and realize and always remember that Satan was created to be perfectly evil. That is the way God created him. He did not choose to do bad. He didn't choose to do bad. Remember, it says that he was a murderer from the beginning. He was also created beautiful. Just beautiful. Number three in the kingdom. But God put that spirit of evil within him when he was created. And that spirit of evil needs a little time to grow. God set that all up. You know, God is a master, and he's perfect in everything that he does. And he made that within him. He built in that envy. He built in that lust. He built in that desire. You can look at all the fruits of Satan, and you can see that it was all built right into him. And as time went along, suddenly the jealousy, suddenly the desire and the want and the lust started to come out in him. And what happened? He tried to take over God, didn't he? Do you think any rational mind, spirit, or human would ever try to do something that stupid? It had to be created. No one in their right mind would ever think that way. It was created, and he didn't have a choice. He was created to be perfectly evil in everything that he has done. And we see by his fruits that he has continued to do that. Look around you. Look into this world. Look into the very life that we have to live. It's lousy, isn't it? There's nothing good about it. God's not in it. God's not in this world at all. Wake up. This is the world that Satan has for us right now, and it's all evil. And Satan is evil. And he was created that way.